Hey, welcome to the Carol Remarks Podcast. My name is Carol, and this is where I host my remarks on glamour, pop culture, and front page news. Let's get right to it. Oh, happy day. Hello and good morning. Welcome to Wednesday. Well, yesterday morning, at about 10:30 in the morning, our big boss comes through the area and says, attention, attention, everyone. This is what the announcement you've been waiting for. You can leave at 11 o'clock today. We closed the facility due to inclement weather that was forecasted, which, typical for Alabama, never happened. Thank goodness it never happened. But yeah, the Arsenal here in North Alabama closed. So when that closes, we close. Anyway, I went home and wrote an article for my blog, Carol Remarks, and I will read that for you now. It's about the Tropicana being demolished in Vegas, and I'm sad. Okay. The iconic Las Vegas Casino Tropicana is set to be demolished this fall to make room for a fancy Major League Baseball stadium. While that is probably exciting news for Sin City, it saddens me to think all the history will be gone. The new sports stadium is not the first to be built on the Strip in recent years. Construction started on Allegiant Stadium, the new home for the Las Vegas Raiders, in 2017. The new venue opened in the summer of 2020. More about Allegiant Stadium. Funny enough, Allegiant Stadium was first proposed to be built on the Tropicana site, but Southwest Airlines objected. I wonder what changed their minds about this new baseball stadium. And I pulled a quote here from Wikipedia. The viability of the Tropicana Avenue site was called into serious question in June of 2016 when Southwest Airlines objected to the location because its proximity to the northern end of one of Harry Reid International Airport runways could negatively affect the safety and capacity of air traffic of the airport. The list of potential locations soon expanded to 9 candidates, including the sites of the Wild Wild West Casino, the Wynn Golf Course, the Riviera Casino, the Las Vegas Festival Grounds, and Cashman Center. By September, the list was narrowed down to two possibilities, the Bally High Golf Club south of Mandalay Bay and a vacant lot on Russell Road just west of the interstate. We all know that it ended up being Russell Road location where the Allegiant Stadium was built. Okay. The gent and I have been to Vegas 3 times. Once for a vacation, the second time for our son's wedding, and the last time we went was for Christmas. I believe we briefly walked through the casino portion of the Tropicana during one visit. I remember it being small and old compared to the Bellagio and Mandalay Bay. Yeah, when we were there, we only walked through the casino portion of the Tropicana, and we were like in and out. It was really small and it was outdated and old. The funny thing about going to Vegas that first time is that I didn't even want to go. Vegas was never on my bucket list of places to visit. I thought it was really never my scene, you know, because I don't like to gamble and all that stuff. But my gosh, once we landed on the Strip, I fell in love instantly. I don't know why, but it's a fun place to visit. We don't gamble while we're there. We just walk around and people watch and eat food. So anyway, still, I can only imagine what it was like in its glory days. The Tropicana opened in April 1957 and was the most expensive Las Vegas resort built back then. It was on 35 acres at the southwest corner of Tropicana and Las Vegas Boulevard. I pulled another quote. This is from the Daily Mail. For decades, it was associated with glitz and glamour. It frequently hosted A-list stars in its showroom, from Elizabeth Taylor and Debbie Reynolds to Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. And it was the hotel that James Bond chose in the popular 1971 flick Diamonds Are Forever. Yes. We just finished a stint where we watched all of the James Bond movies in order that they were made. It was a spectacular experience. I suggest you do the same. And I inserted a little video, a trailer of Diamonds Are Forever. Okay, so moving on. The Tropicana did not go unscathed from the Kansas City crime family in 1979. An FBI operation named Operation Strawman exposed money skimming from the casino's Folies Bergère show. Side note, if you visit Vegas, take the time to visit the tour and tour the mob museum. I lost myself in real life stories and how Vegas became the world's gambling capital. That was a fun time. It's a big museum. It's like three stories tall, four stories, something like that. It was fun. I enjoyed that tour. Okay, moving on. I pulled another quote, this one from AP News. The feathered showgirls of the Tropicana. On Christmas Eve, 1959, the Tropicana debuted Folies Bergère. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It was a topless revue imported from Paris and featuring what is now one of the most recognizable Las Vegas icons, the feathered showgirl. So I guess this is where the feathered showgirl was born out of. During its nearly 50-year run, Folies Bergère featured elaborate costumes and stage sets, original music that at one time was played by a live orchestra, line dancers, magic shows, acrobats, and comedy. The cabaret was featured in the 1964 Elvis Presley film Viva Las Vegas. Magicians Siegfried and Roy got their start in the show, as did Lance Burton. The final curtain fell in March of 2009 amid the Great Recession. End quote. It makes me sad to see the buildings like this destroyed. Why couldn't someone spend the money to restore them to their glory days instead? I guess baseball is more important. And then I question, a new neon city? Here's an idea. Let's build a new neon city, just not in Mississippi. When I say build a new neon city, I mean replicate Vegas, even if it's smaller. Can we do that? Is that even possible? I want the good old days of Vegas, or at least the good old days they portray in the movies. While Tunica is no substitute for Vegas, the gents and I still make weekend getaway trips there. It's a place in Robbinsonville, Mississippi, and was supposed to be the Las Vegas of the South. I have no earthly idea why they chose Robbinsonville, Mississippi. Everything is spread out all over several fields and cotton, or several farms and farms of, I'm sorry. Everything is spread out over several fields and farms of cotton. It is not conducive to tourists who want an easy and convenient experience. The venture didn't work out. There was once several hotels, resorts, and casinos. Most of them have shut down. Only a handful still stand and operate. We go to the gold strike. I pulled another quote from a site called The D Las Vegas. And yes, we all know that Fremont is the original Vegas. Fremont Street, the old strip, was paved in 1925 as the downtown area developed. The ban on gambling was lifted in 1931, which would later spark a massive casino development movement in downtown and what would later be known as the Strip, end quote. Now, I will make a list of movies to watch that was filmed in or centered around Vegas. Goodbye, Tropicana. Man, that's sad to see that go. But I guess time marches on, right? Speaking of time marching on, let's go over here. Switching gears entirely, we're going to go to the Victory Girls blog that I wrote about yesterday. Lou Conter, he was the last survivor of the Japanese bombing of the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor. So the title is Anchors Away, Lou Conter, Anchors Away. America lost its last survivor of the USS Arizona, which was attacked on December 7th, 1941. Lou Conter was on duty that day of the attack. He passed away surrounded by family at his family California home in April 1st, 2024. Having served in the United States Navy, I felt incredibly moved to write about Lou Conter. But first, here's what the Arizona Final Salute website has to say about him. And I pulled a quote from their site. Lou Conter was born in 1921 in Ojibwa, Wisconsin. He enlisted in the Navy in 1939 in Denver, Colorado, and completed basic training in San Diego, California. He reported to the USS Arizona in 1940 with the rank of quartermaster, third class. He was on watch the day of the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was on the quarterdeck station between the ship's third turret and main deck when the sirens announce the Japanese attack. When the big blast hit, Liu was knocked forward to the deck as others were blown off the ship completely. He and his other sailors began helping the wounded men, keeping them from jumping over the side into the fiery and shark-infested waters. At this point, he was knee-deep in water as the Arizona continued to sink. When the abandoned ship call sounded, Liu went into the lifeboat and rowed to shore. After the attack, Liu helped recover bodies and put out fires. He later served in New Guinea and Europe during World War II. Liu also participated in the Korean War, serving on the USS Bonhomme Richard. He retired from the Navy in 1967 after serving 23 years as a lieutenant commander. So he started as an enlisted man and retired as an officer, which is very telling. All right, so continuing on. He started as an enlisted man, but then retired as an officer, which says a lot. Reading that short paragraph from the Arizona Final Salute website gave me chills because, my God, I can't imagine what that must have been like. And men were built differently back then. Liu Conter, the sailor, aviator, and survivor. After America entered the World War II due to the attack on Pearl Harbor, Conter became a naval aviator cadet, earned his wings, and flew with the Black Cats in nighttime bombings and bombing raids. The USS Arizona would not be the only attack he survived. He survived another attack during a time when he and his crew were shot down near New Guinea in 1943. They spent hours treading water and avoiding sharks until another plane came along and dropped them a lifeboat. In his later career in the Navy, he trained other sailors how to survive and make it out alive in different wartime scenarios, including if they had been taken prisoners of war. I didn't know the man personally, but what I've read about him makes me wish I had. He seems to have led an exceptional life. I'm also thankful to him for writing the Liu Conter story autobiography and for not shying away from talking about his experience. Yes, time marches on and we lose living legends and heroes. I feel unfortunate that a whole generation is leaving us. Who will continue to tell their stories and history? Our Victor girl, Deanna, asked the question in December of 2023 when she wrote about Pearl Harbor and what do the kids know. That is supposed to be linked to her. There. Yeah, it's linked. Okay. There. If you go to that story, click on What Do the Kids Know? And she wrote last year about Pearl Harbor and how will the story continue to be told? All right. Of course, Liu has said he doesn't consider himself a hero. He would tell you that the men who died that day, December 7th, 1941, were the real heroes and that he was simply doing his job and what he had trained for in the military. I'll add Pearl Harbor to my bucket list of places to visit. Here's to you, Liu Conter. Thank you for your service and valor, sir. Anchors away, my boys, anchors away. Farewell to foreign shores. We sail at break of day. Through our last night ashore, drink to the foam until we meet again. Here's wishing you a happy voyage home. Yes. So that's it. And I've talked on long enough and I need to do the question of the day. Okay, this is a silly question, but that's what question of the days are for. What is your favorite breakfast beverage? So when you sit down to eat breakfast, what do you have to drink? Do you like to drink orange juice? Coffee, milk, water, whatever. What is your favorite? What do you drink with your breakfast, if you do? And it depends for me. If I have cereal, then I'm drinking the milk in the cereal bowl. But if I'm having a big breakfast that the gent may prepare and serve to me in bed, then it's orange juice for me. I like orange juice. And coffee, of course. There's always coffee. Always. Anyway, that's the question of the day. Okay, thanks for listening. Have a great day. My name is Carol. These are my remarks.
What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not a democracy!